Well, church is not just a whole bunch of people coming into a building and being there, right? You could fill this church up with people, but who have no relationship, then you don't have a church. This is church. Relationship. People caring for one another, people loving one another. Amen. And it doesn't matter how big it is, it doesn't matter how small it is. It matters that Christ is in each one and ministering one to another by his Spirit. That's what matters. Amen. All right. So I thank you for enduring that time. And so now I want Moses to come. And like I said, if you have to leave, you go ahead and leave, but we're going to be fed. Amen. So, brother, come on, bring the word. Amen. And take your time. Give it to us the way the Lord gave it to you. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Pat. And greetings, everybody. It is so good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's been a couple of days since we were here. I don't want to go through telling you all the reasons why we are not here. You know, we kept the pastor informed. Always called him and saying, you know what, Pastor, this has come up, this is happening, and so we'll not be there, but we're together. And let me tell you something. We are going to go to Uganda, but you know, the interesting thing about Uganda is that sometimes, you know, we just let the Holy Spirit lead. And sometimes we just put away all these programs that we had made and say, Father, let your program prevail. And I think you'll all agree with me that the Lord has already spoken to us. The message that the Lord wanted us to get today, we've got it. And Pastor, thank you for bringing that message. Because my own preparation, we are rejoining the story of Jacob at a time when Jacob was processing the greatest loss of his life up to that stage. And as I struggled last night and the days that have passed to think about creating an entry point into this message and creating a pitch, and what kept coming to me is what Jacob must have been going through. Let's read there very briefly. And I can promise you that for today, you'll be in the Uganda where the Spirit leads, and you'll be out of here in the next very few minutes. Genesis chapter 28. If we can begin reading at verse 10.
Now Jacob went, test one. Now Jacob went out to Beersheba, went out from Beersheba and went to Haran, toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all of you that you, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.
Thank you very much. Let's pause there for a minute. Jacob has been living with his parents. His father and mother were there, and his brother. And they had wonderful fellowship. I'm sure they were having the, at that time, the Abrahamic or the Isaacic dream, you know. Mother and father in the house, prosperity, everything is moving well. But then a time comes, Jacob, he has deprived his brother of the blessing. He has deprived his brother of the birthright. And now he has to flee. He has to run away from the home. He has to leave the house. And Jacob is leaving the house. And when he leaves the house, the feeling that's going on in his mind is what he says in verse 29. When he says, if God will be with me and will watch over me and bring me back to this house. That is the feeling. The feeling of loss. I am leaving my father. Will I ever see him again? If I see him, will I see him alive? I'm leaving my brother. Will I ever see him again? And if I see him, what shall we say to each other? The way I've left my brother, does he even want to see me again? Does he even want to look at me again? Myself, inside, I feel rotten. What have I done to my brother? What have I done to my father? What have I done to myself? Will I ever inherit the blessing of the God of my father? My father has a good relationship with his God. I've never had him, you know, cheating or telling a lie, and now here I am, I'm telling a lie, I'm cheating, and now I'm having to run away under the pretext of going to marry a wife. And I can imagine what Jacob was struggling with. And the moment he took that first step out of the house, out of the home, the loneliness began. Reality came home. No more father, no more mother. It's me. And by the way, friends, he didn't have a GPS. He didn't have a map. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have a compass. And he's walking into the desert to go and look for an uncle he has never lived with. An uncle he doesn't know. Who he doesn't know where the uncle lives. The only thing he can think of is he's a man who kept sheep and goats. And therefore his flock or his flocks or his sheep and goats will be watered. So the only place I can meet him is a well. So go to a well where they water sheep and goats, and hopefully his sheep will also be there. What a painful moment it must have been for Jacob. And he walks away from home. The loss that Pastor Pat was talking about becomes so real for Jacob. And it's so painful. And he doesn't know. The Bible says the night came. I don't know what time he had set off from home. And so I don't know how far he was from home. I don't know whether he had gone 7 miles, or whether he had gone 1 mile, or whether he had gone 10 miles. But whatever it was, night came and he had no place to sleep. A man who had tents, who slept in tents and spent time in tents, now has no place to sleep. Does that sound like a foreclosure? They just foreclosed on him. Maybe they just foreclosed on you. Maybe you're facing foreclosure. Maybe you know somebody who is facing foreclosure. The threat of losing a home. The feeling of helplessness. Oh, no income.
He's just lost his job. He had all the protection of the family. He has no job. What job is he going to do? Now, friends, he doesn't have a bed. He doesn't have a bed. But he must spend a night. And the pillow, the pillow he can find is a stone. A stone. That's the only pillow he could find. And so the Bible says he went, found a stone, put it somewhere, lay down, put his head on the stone, and fell asleep. The worst feeling that must have been going on in his heart, he's left behind the God of his father. I think in him, he couldn't see the God of his father. And he didn't know, will this God ever visit me again? Will I ever meet him? And when he slept, the one thing that he did not know is that God had gone ahead of him. God had gone ahead of him. The Bible says the rock that accompanied them in the wilderness, the stone that the builders rejected. So when Jacob takes the stone, he's not taking a stone. He's taking the Lord. And he's putting his head right on the Lord, but he doesn't know. Are there moments when you feel rejected, you feel abandoned, you feel forsaken, you feel hopeless, you feel helpless, you feel like things are not adding up for you? You don't see hope. It is dark. It is night. It was dark. It was night. Jacob was helpless. He takes a stone. That stone was Jesus. And when Jacob puts his head on Jesus, Jesus is the master of vision. He opens his mind, and Jacob sees this wonderful dream with a ladder of stairs, you know, reaching from the earth to the heavens, and the angels going up and coming down, bringing parcels and bringing messages. Oh my, when he wakes up, the feeling is so good. It is no longer that hopeless feeling. It's no longer that helpless feeling. It's no longer that rejection. Oh, it is so good. And he says, this is the gate of heaven. Oh, this is the gate of heaven. I want to stay here. He feels he was at the gate of heaven. What he didn't know, of course, then people did not know the omnipresence of God. People didn't know that God is everywhere. God was believed to be in specific places. And that's why the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "You tell us that we have to go and worship this God in Jerusalem. There's a specific place. We can't worship him anywhere." The one thing that the presence of the Holy Spirit has done for us is to place God for us everywhere. You can meet God wherever you are. Right in your car. Right in your, wherever you are. On the street, at your workplace, wherever you are, you meet the Lord right there. And you enter fellowship. And you engage a gear. And let me tell you the advantage that we have. If you don't want those around you to know what you are doing, sing in tongues. They will not know what you are doing, but you are worshiping the Lord God of glory. So Jacob wakes up, and this is his prayer. If God will take me and bring me back safely. Now, there is good and bad in there. The good is God has just spoken to him. He's just appeared to him. He's just given him assurance. He's just repeated to him the blessing that his father Isaac gave him. He has just told him, I'll protect you. I'll look after you. I'll take you. I'll bring you back safely. Not only that, but the land in which you now lie, I'll give it to you. It will be your possession. And not only for you, but for nations, for your offspring. And you, the world, the nations of the world will be blessed through your offspring. He's just reassured him. But then, the human person in him wakes up. And the all-important two-letter word comes out. If, is it possible? Lord, is it possible? Can you do it? Yes, Lord, I know you did it for Abraham. Can you do it for me? Yeah, Lord, I know you did it then. Do you still do it, Lord? Is it still possible? Do you ever feel like that? Are there moments when you have actually, literally, inside of you doubted that God can do it? I have. There are moments when I have said, Lord, if you're going to do it, why not now? What are you waiting for? Why not now, Lord? There are moments when I say, Lord, but why did you even allow it to, in the first place? King David says, for me, I have almost lost my faith. He says, when I saw the wicked prosper, I saw how they enjoy. I saw how they don't seem to have any problem on earth. I almost lost my faith. And he says, until the Lord took me to his holy place and showed me their end. But there are moments when we are all like that. Helpless, hopeless. You know, it's just like, Lord, no, this can't be. It's not adding up. And there are times when you have confessed all the scriptures in the Bible that you know. And you can't remember any new scripture to confess. There are times when you have prayed and you can't pray anymore. You put on a tape of somebody who was praying and they pray and you are saying, Amen. 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 It all looks dry. There are moments. Maybe not for you. But this is where Jacob was. And he says, if the Lord will do this, and will bring me back here, then he does one very important thing. He makes a vow. He makes a vow. He says, if the Lord will bring me back to this place, then I'll worship you, Lord. I'll worship you in this place. This will become a place of prayer and worship. And this stone on which I lay my head will become a pillar in your house. I don't know how many times you might have made vows. You know, when you don't have a job, and you're praying for a job, you know how many times you vow? Lord, if you give me, Lord, if you give me a job this time, Father, I'll never miss tithe. Lord, I'll give you every tithe, every month. Lord, this time when you give me a job. Lord, this time when you give me a job. Lord, my first fruits, the first salary, I will give it all to you. And you know, God has a sense of humor. The day you earn your first check, Bank of America calls. to remind you that you're 3 months late on your mortgage. And you, then the debate begins with the Lord. Lord, but Lord, you understand, you know. Or maybe there's something, I don't know, whatever circumstance, you've gone to the Lord in prayer with a vow. My father, my late father, challenged me about 10 years ago. He said to me, my son, I made a vow to God, and I need to fulfill it before I die. And I said, Father, what vow? My father told me his story. It was a very painful story. My father walked on foot for 3 months from his village home to the city, or close to the city. He was about 15 years old. He hadn't started primary one, elementary one. You know, he hadn't started grade one. And he wanted to study. And he joined himself to some widow who he was working for as a helper in the house. When he joined her, she was not a widow. She was the wife of a priest, and the priest died. And when the widow was going back to her home, my father said, "I'll go with you." Just like Ruth said to Naomi. And my father walked to where he didn't know. And they walked for 3 months on foot. And they went and lived in the house of another more senior priest for days. And on one of the days, the priest with whom they lived was evicted from his house. And they went and they threw their property in some field. And so my father and the priest were making a house. And my father says, as he dug the hole to put the peg, the pole, he says he worked so hard to dig the first hole. And as he dug that hole, he said to God, "God, as I put this peg in this hole, if you keep me alive and give me a family and help me to educate my children to the level that loved to educate myself, to get educated myself, I'll come back to this place and worship you." So many years later, my father says to me, "Son, I want you to take me back to that village.
Yes, amen.
I want to go and worship the Lord in that place. And I have to take some presents to that church in that place." And as I drove my father to take him to fulfill that vow, that was a big challenge to my heart. And today, Jacob is making a vow. And he's saying, "God, if you bring me back, I'll worship you in this place. And I'll give you a tenth of everything you give me." I know each one of us here has made vows. And unfortunately, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Unfortunately, many of us have fallen in the trap of making vows that we have not been able to fulfill, or that we will never fulfill. And there's some advice for us from Solomon, and I'll finish with that advice, and we shall spend some few minutes in prayer together. Yes, chapter 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. 1 up to about 8.
"Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity, but fear God."
That's it. That's some advice for us from King Solomon. Do not be rash to speak in the house of the Lord. And how many of us have been rash to speak in the presence of the Lord? "Lord, this time, if this happens, Lord, this time. Lord, this time, if you do this for me, then I'll come back to you, and then I'll fulfill this vow." When the fulfillment comes, we can't even remember. We can't even remember. I want us to stand up. And I want us to come closer. We are the body of Christ. Let's spend some time together in prayer. As the body of Christ. If you can stand, just come. Let's spend time together. Let's encourage one another in the Lord. Let's pray for each other. There may have been moments when we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all spoken things that we had no business speaking. And we did not even sometimes know we are making a vow. And sometimes we have inflicted pain on our flesh with our mouth. Because we promised, we said things that we shouldn't have been saying. But here we learn from Jacob. Jacob, later on I'll show you. I'm not showing it to you today. But later on I'll show you how so many years later, Jacob fulfilled this vow. Let's come together. Come closer. Come closer. Let's join hands. Let's just spend time praying. Let's just spend some time praying. Let's just spend time praying. Just come closer. Let's just spend time praying. And this is the way we are going to pray. I'm going to allow each one of us will spend some time in prayer. Just we'll all pray together, the Pentecostal way, the evangelical way, just pray. And then I'll ask 3-4 people spontaneously, pray as the Spirit leads you. And pray about whatever the Lord leads you to pray. And then I'll ask Pastor Pat to close for us in prayer. So let's pray. Just lift it to God. Just raise your voice to God. If there is anything to ask for forgiveness about, you can ask for forgiveness. Because there may be things you promised and you have not been able to fulfill. Lord, just forgive us. We are human. We are flesh. We are blood and flesh. Sometimes when we are in darkness, sometimes when we are in the night, sometimes when we are experiencing loss, sometimes when there is pain, we've cried to you. We've spoken, Lord, and sometimes we've promised things and we have not even been able to fulfill them. Sometimes we've not even come back to do that which you wanted us to do. Lord, just forgive us. Just heal us, oh God. Just cleanse us, my God. Just set us free, Lord God, from any bondage that we have inflicted upon ourselves, oh God, through careless talk, Lord. Father, when we have spoken things that we did not even remember, when we've been rushed in your house, in your presence, to speak and to make promises, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us where we have not fulfilled them, Lord God. We have vowed, Lord God. We've promised money. We've promised ministry. We've promised, Lord, we shall participate in ministry. We've said we shall spend time in prayer. We've said we shall spend time reading the Word. People have made resolutions at the beginning of the year. And they have prayed over them, Lord God. And they have promised and they have vowed. And yet, Lord God, they have not held on to those vows and promises, oh God. Forgive us, Lord, for we are just but dust. We are but just dust, oh my God. We are blood and flesh. We fall apart. We fail. We crumble, my God. We crumble under the pressures of this world. We crumble under the pleasures of this world. We crumble under pain. We crumble under loss. We crumble under suffering. We crumble. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, oh Lord. Cleanse us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cleanse us, cleanse us, cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Just cleanse us, Lord. If you are led of the Lord to just pray, just verbalize that prayer for us all, and we shall join you and support you in that prayer. Thank you,
Lord. Father, you are the God of vision. You opened our hearts and you spoke about your word into our hearts. You have placed vision. And in your vision, Lord God, we have spoken agreement.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that it is not by our might.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
That by your Holy Spirit you renew that vision.
Yes, Lord.
That by your Holy Spirit you renew, bring back to our remembrance that you have birthed it in our hearts.
Yes, by
you. You have birthed it even in our spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you shake off the
church. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for the
yes,
word,
Lord
your
God.
Word
yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes,
renewing
Jesus.
Our hope in
yes,
that
Lord.
Covenant that you placed
yes,
in our hearts.
Yes,
that covenant, Lord, renewing our hope to this covenant.
Yes,
of that vision that you placed in our spirit right
yes,
now,
Lord.
Father. We submit ourselves to you
yes,
right
Jesus.
Now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord God.
That vision come to pass.
Amen.
Our might,
amen.
By our power, by
amen.
Spirit, which has birthed
amen.
Into our hearts and into our minds.
Amen.
God, we thank you and we praise you for the spirit
amen.
Of
yes.
Christmas.
Amen.
For the spirit of renewing.
Amen.
Oh, God, for the heart.
Amen.
The deeper.
Amen.
That vision which you placed into us.
Amen.
So right now we surrender.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord
yes.
God, simple surrender. And
yes, Lord.
God, we submit that we are here for your good pleasure.
Yes, Jesus.
We are here to bring forth
yes, Lord.
By
yes,
your
yes,
spirit.
Yes,
not
Lord.
By our might.
Yes,
not Jesus. By our
yes, Lord.
For
your glory. Yes, Lord.
For your
glory. Yes.
So we surrender right
amen.
Now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Amen.
We
surrender to you, Jesus. Yes, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, that you
perfectly
give to you
yes,
in worship,
yes,
this
Lord.
Offering,
yes,
as a sacrifice,
yes, Lord.
Lord God, not by our own strength,
yes,
but by
Lord.
Your Spirit.
Yes,
Lord.
Father.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
When I know some wonder, consider thou what thy hand has made. I see the stars. And hear the mighty thunder, thy path through earth, thy universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how
Father, I thank you right now
in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God upon each one of these children. Lord, resting in these temples of clay, I thank you, O God, for the anointing of God that would rest upon your people, O God. Lord, for you, O God, to shine through. For you, O God, to shine through. For the Holy Ghost, O God. Not, O God, Lord, to not, O Lord, for one to be weak in and of themselves, but to be mighty through God. I thank you, Lord, for the outshining, O Lord, for the outflowing of your grace in each one of these vessels, in this man's heart, in his life, through the work of his hands, through, O God, the power of God that is resident within him. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that everywhere he goes, you go. That everywhere he steps, you step. And I thank you for the power of God that rests upon our daughter, O Lord, to bring glory to your name. Lord, healing in every part of her body from head to toe. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now, Lord, that you are our healer. You are the giver of life. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your grace. Lord, in the inward working of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that is not by power, Lord, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing virtue and your grace and your power to heal and make whole, O God. Lord, and to minister life, O Lord, we thank you for it and we lay hands and we thank you in Jesus' name that you do what only you can do. You do what man cannot accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, Lord, for your prophetic spirit, Lord, for your working in our daughter's heart and in her life. Now, Lord, give yourself the glory. Get yourself the glory, O God, as you use her as a vessel of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for the Holy Ghost resident within my brother. Thank you that you intend to glorify yourself through him, that you intend to glorify yourself through this vessel as she stands, as she gives herself to the work of God. Lord, that as you are working in these lives, that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Jesus Christ will be lifted up, O God, by these lives, Lord, whom you have purchased, O God, with your own blood. Oh, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you intend to glorify yourself through every one of these vessels, O God. Now, Lord, fill the house. Fill the temple. Fill the temple. Let your glory flash out. Let it shine out. Let it escape. Oh God, let it spill out, Lord, for the cup that you fill and cause to run over with your glory, Lord. And as she intercedes, oh God, Father, may her prayers, oh God, shake heaven and earth, oh God. Lord, to bring about your purpose and your desire, oh God, in every place, Lord, that the foot of her spiritual foot shall tread, Lord, that it is hers, oh God. Thank you for our brother, Lord, whom the word of God dwells in, Lord, through whom you pour, Lord, your spirit through the word. And Father, Lord, we pray, oh God, Lord, that the river of life will continue to flow out of him. Lord, that the feeding dimension, Lord, that you will continue to give him that which would feed the house of God and build up the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dwelling in us for your own purpose and your own glory. And I pray, oh God, that each saint here today, Lord, that we would all see, Lord, your glory, oh God, upon our lives. And that we, oh God, would find ourselves living not for ourselves, but wholly consumed in living for your glory and your glory alone. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. The Lord bless you real good.